Welcome to the Wheels in Motion podcast. This is episode 2 in our shared Milk Run series featuring John Woolman and Ted Boley. Happy listening.
Good morning, and welcome to another edition of Wheels in Motion, a car logistics podcast. My name is John Woolman, and along with me is car sales manager Ted Boley. You may or may not know this about Ted, but he's a world-renowned fighter pilot and an advanced expert in mixed martial arts. An avid reader and proponent of the Home Shopping Network, Ted makes a great cheesecake. Ted, welcome once again.
Well, thank you, John. And if we have time at the end of the podcast, we can try that great cheesecake that I'm world-renowned about.
Looking forward to it. Today, we want to get a conversation about the advantages of the car-shared milk run model, specifically in this day and age of continuous supply chain fluidity. We asked the question, what are some tweaks or improvements the supply chain manager can make to enhance optimization? So, Ted, you and I kind of reviewed this earlier this week and came up with some hot topics we wanted to hit specific to this idea. And the first one we talked about was increasing pull frequency. So why don't you hit on the highlights of how that can be effective for a supply chain manager?
Yeah, some of the advantages that you have by increasing your pull frequency is you're lowering your inventory, both the cost of inventory, the space needed, and so on and so forth. Also, you're able to level schedule throughout the week. If you're increasing your pull frequency, instead of just receiving a part maybe 1-2 times a week, you can get it 5 days a week. That also lends itself to labor savings. You're touching the freight less. Perhaps you don't have to take the freight from the dock to a warehouse location or an inside store. You can just take it straight to the line. Also, decreases the abnormal occurrences that may happen. When you're getting parts in, you know, sometimes you have some maybe bad or don't meet spec. So you're going to have a new run of parts coming through to you the next day instead of just 1 or 2 times a week. Also, you decrease the chances of spoilage. If there's an engineering change or something that may occur that changes that part, the less you have an inventory, the less you have to dispose of. Also, if you're returnable containers, you would require less volume of containers in the loop because you're getting those back to the suppliers on a daily basis. Whereas if you're moving it 1 or 2 times a week, you have a bank at your location, you have a bank at the supplier location, based on that volume, and you're not able to use those on a regular basis.
Yeah, that all makes sense. I think as I look at this, these are some key advantages. Obviously, the disadvantages are the exact opposite of what you said. If you reduce your frequency, you're going to have higher inventory levels. And then obviously, with a higher level, you're losing the inventory savings. Your labor savings are negatively impacted because you've got bigger quantities coming to your receiving dock. And so it takes more touch points to actually handle that material. You mentioned the abnormal occurrences. Obviously, with bigger batch sizes and more inventory, you've got a bigger chance of spoilage and or bad parts. And that essentially destroys your inventory in terms of maybe needing expedites now to make up for those damaged parts. And your last point about the returnable containers is exceptional. You know, without a level schedule, it's hard to gauge and control those flows. And you end up going to corrugated if you don't have that flow coming into your dock. So I think those are some really key points about increasing pull frequency. Let's look at our next topic where we talk about consolidating and eliminating routes. How about those advantages, Ted?
Well, when you're able to consolidate or eliminate routes within your network, or if you're in a shared network, you're taking trucks out of the network. You're getting rid of waste. And you also have a possible overall transportation cost reduction by doing that. You have better utilization of the equipment, lessens your mileage impact that the routes are running. And then on the green side, you have fewer carbon emissions, lessening the carbon footprint that you put out there on your supply chain. So those are just some of the advantages right off the top of my head that I can think of on the consolidation and elimination routes. But there's also some disadvantages also. John, you want to go into those?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we're talking about really is you've got a set flow of routes for the supply chain. And really, you're talking about a contraction in volume and therefore a contraction in the actual routes themselves. So theoretically, you're reducing or realigning your capacity. The big disadvantage is what happens when these volumes come back. Then suddenly you're short capacity. And not only that, then you're looking at a higher cost factor trying to get those routes back in line. I know at Carter, we have these routes are set up that they're driver-friendly routes. Well, if you start taking these routes away from the drivers, you've got a negative impact on the driver pool and driver morale. And again, higher costs increase as a result because you'll have to pay more to these drivers to take these routes. Change is difficult. Change is difficult for the drivers. Change is difficult for our operation. And maybe most importantly, in this case, the change is difficult for the suppliers. So if they're being asked to produce lower volumes, and then we're changing window times and or patterns or flows, it could be painful all the way around. So advantages and disadvantages both ways.
And John, you know, one other point I want to throw out there that maybe we can talk a little bit about is, you know, when you're dealing, if I'm a transportation manager and I'm just dealing with my freight, I only have what I have and I only know what I know.
Sure.
If I'm in a network that works so much, somewhat like a co-op such as the Milk Run, I have the advantage of much greater knowledge, much greater volume, much greater bandwidth on thing of the fluctuations that happen of up and down. Correct?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, that's one thing that, you know, is an advantage of our shared Milk Run network.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. So what about the shared Milk Run network and then other modes? Is there a way we can change modes and have that effectively address changes in the supply chain?
Yeah, by changing modes, like, you know, going from a truckload to a Milk Run to maybe even LTL, just depends on the volumes and the frequencies that are needed. But you can have better transportation cost control. You're not moving trucks that are half empty. You're not moving, getting minimum charges or, you know, getting linear feet charges on LTL. You're getting more effective use of the capacity that's out there. Whether, you know, we're in the trying times that we are now right now with trucking, or if you're in an abundance situation, then it gives you a chance to do some collaboration with your strategic partners. You know, maybe on LTL they have some backhauls they need to fill. Where, you know, linear feet pricing, maybe they can you know, succumb on some of those. Or maybe you go to a volume where you're using a cargo van. Maybe it's only a couple skids, and you run from a couple suppliers, and you just run a Milk Run, say with a cargo van. But all with all that, you have some, you're doing some innovation, you're doing the spontaneity, and you're being creative. And, you know, one thing that people really don't think about is, you know, maybe an LTL that's under 150 pounds, maybe it needs to look at moving small package and what that cost impact would be. Obviously, there's some disadvantage of transit time, so on and so forth, but, you know, that's always an option also.
Yeah, that's excellent. And that's very true. You know, you talk about changing modes and maybe changing carrier dynamics within those modes. It's one thing if you're planning on this, but if you're not planning, you're going to pay more money. So it's better to line yourself up with these partners ahead of time for planning purposes to avoid, again, a higher cost impact. To your point about transit times, you've got to ideally understand how that's going to be different carrier to carrier. You know, an LTL carrier or a small package carrier likely can't do a same day pickup or pickup and deliver on the same day, I should say. So that's a disadvantage if you're planning that way. Insurance coverage can be an issue. Do these other modes have the needed coverage to handle your material? Obviously, if you've got specialized materials in terms of hazmat or temperature control material, you've got to make sure that the freight has characteristics that fit with the specific carriers you're aligning those shipments with. I guess the main thing is protect yourself overall, coming, you know, specifically in terms of planning, getting the right carrier for the right material, and making sure the service aligns with what you need. All critical components of making sure you're doing the right things when changing mode.
Yeah.
Ted, this last one I have is do nothing at all. Is that a realistic option?
Yes, unfortunately, it is. It's something that, you know, if your prime objective at your job is to control cost and control transportation. Yeah. Do nothing at all is the easiest way to do it. When you look at it, you know, if you got a truckload that's moving and you know, the volume goes from, you know, 90% cube down to say 50% cube, and it's still running 5 days a week, your transportation costs on that truckload is not going to increase. It's probably going to most likely stay the same. But when you get down to it, when you're looking at your piece price, when you get the bean counters involved, you know, the accountants and so on and so forth, they're going to look at, wait a minute, now each piece has become more expensive on the transportation side. Or, you know, if it's connected to sales, my sales are down. Why is my transportation cost going up as a percentage of my sales?
Sure.
So, some other advantages on that is you have fixed capacity, you know, in the environment we're in right now, you've already got those carriers set up. They're already running, you know, everything's normalized. You're not uprooting their world and changing the frequencies, changing the window time, so on and so forth. You do have the fixed cost, you know, static pricing, which is, you know, it's a bad thing. But you're not doing anything with the suppliers, so you're not affecting them. Now, the suppliers could be, maybe they used to work two shifts, now they're going to one shift. Well, that's going to uproot your world, not theirs, but, you know, more your world on your milk.
Right. Right.
And you live with the peaks and valleys and deal with the fluctuating utilization accordingly. You know? So your volume is down 50%. And with that, you know, suppliers are going to adjust their labor and adjust their production and so on and so forth. So what's going to happen when one day it's, you know, 20% and then the next day it's 110% because they couldn't keep up with production? Then what are you going to do? Now you're going to be into an overflow situation.
Yep.
And at that point, you're only making adjustments when absolutely necessary, which will, you know, if you can plan for those things, that's good. You're going to get a better cost. You can get a better planning process. But if all those are last minute, of course, last minute stuff, price goes up. So you want to make sure that you have a firm grasp of that, and do nothing at all might be the easy road, but really you need to do some due diligence and try to get control of those costs.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're talking about really when you're in crisis management mode in this day and age, it's kind of what we've been dealing with the last year, basically. You know, doing nothing, you're protecting yourself in terms of having the capacity to continue to run your routes. But essentially, this is a gamble, no risk, no reward, where you're, you know, running the same amount of trucks with air. You're not getting any value then out of the transportation spend, and you're again risking a lot of money and potential cost savings opportunities. Again, we're not suggesting that you would do nothing necessarily, but if you're not really looking at ways to continuously improve what you're doing, you'll see no continuous improvements. The definition of insanity, you know, continuing to do what you've always done and expecting different results, it's just not going to happen. Also, you're looking at contingency planning. If you are essentially going status quo, then you aren't preparing or planning for potential hiccups that could come into play later on. And probably the biggest disadvantage I see is you've got leadership to answer to. You don't want to have the question come up to you, what the hell are you doing? And you have your response saying, well, we're doing nothing at all. So again, pluses and minuses, you obviously want to make sure you have the capacity, but you need to drill down if possible to save the money or change modes or do some of the other things we've talked about here. So Ted, I think these are the main topics we wanted to cover today. Why don't you put a bow on this present and wrap it for everybody?
I like that saying, John. Whatever direction you decide to go, there's obviously advantages and disadvantages. With a thorough benefit of cost analysis that should be done, not only for the direct cost, but also the soft costs that would be impacted. Soft costs being inventory, labor, production volumes, you know, working first shift, second shift, so on. So internal and external. So, you know, in your role, you have your internal customers or people within your own organization, like your production, your inventory people, so on and so forth. But then you got your exterior customers, or the ones that you're making parts for. They're delivering on their schedules, so you maybe have to adapt to their schedules with your adaption too. So, you know, at Carter Logistics, one thing we have a continuous improvement team that looks at current state and versus proposed state. Whenever there's a change that's proposed or analysis that's wanting to be done, this is always completed. This is the process that we go through. All transportation impacted items are laid out and accounted for. So when making a decision, the true impact of all the costs are understood and are also verified. It's also important to have a team work on this and put this information together and also review it. You may think you have all the necessary information, all the guidance, all the planning and everything all captured. There's always a good thing to have a second set of eyes review and maybe not be in the same world you're at. Sometimes you can get lost in the minutiae of data. Having an outside perspective is always a great thing to have. And we always got to remember that transportation just doesn't affect the freight and the time it gets to the dock. You do affect the shipping department. You do affect production. You do affect planning. And most importantly, you're possibly affecting your end-use customer, which is what you're there to support.
Yeah, you talk about the experience base of the different people. I'm assuming you're talking about on your team. You also can draw on the experience and your relationships with your third-party providers and other logistics partners as well. They've got perspective and insight that can help you also. I would suggest you don't want to overlook that as a possible resource for you as well.
Yeah, I mean, those people are experts. There's a reason why they're in that field, and they've had knowledge. They've had experiences. Experience is like the best thing that can happen. I don't know how many times, especially me and you, John, we've been in the industry for quite some time that, we came up with an idea that's like, why, how'd you come up with that? Or why'd you suggest that? Well, it's because it happened before, and it's a good thing to have experience.
Absolutely. Well, Ted, stellar job as always. I always appreciate this time that we have to put these podcasts on. I hope our listeners find real value. I don't know about you, but I'm hungry. Let's get some cheesecake.
All right. You want caramel or cherry?
I'll take caramel. Thanks.
All right. Talk to you later, John.
See you.
Thank you for listening to the Wheels in Motion podcast. If you have an idea for an upcoming podcast, send your ideas to marketing@carter-express.com. Until next time.